Wisconsin, et cetera, versus Frapsen. Mr. Bilicelli?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
May it please the court.
Do you reserve any time for rebuttal?
Can I reserve 5 minutes?
5 minutes, yes, sir.
Thank you.
May
it please the court. I am Nash Bilicelli with Van Dieven & Black in Norfolk, Virginia, representing Air Wisconsin in this matter, which is the workers' compensation and their workers' compensation carrier.
Given that the case has been the petition that was deemed withdrawn has been docketed, isn't it premature to determine whether you're an aggrieved party?
It might be. I agree.
If they reach the merits of the February application and the full commission doesn't disturb that and kick it on technical grounds, then regardless of what they rule on the merits, if they reach the merits, the May application is moot one way or the other.
If they go all the way through the merits, the May application becomes moot.
Because right. it's either you stopped, you were correct to stop paying in February,
right?
Or
you weren't.
It's res judicata because it's the exact same set of facts. There's no new information. There's no new nothing.
I thought about it that way. That's probably true. If February gets to the merits, gets all the way up here as it will be, and is adjudicated on the merits, May becomes
the only possible effect is if the February application is ultimately rejected on some technical
round.
Non-merits ground, and you are ordered to pay back benefits past May of 2016 to file a new change in condition application.
If May is gone because it's deemed withdrawn, if May is gone, then we would have to file one in 2018, and we would have to pay all the way up through 18. So that's the big key, is May's just got to stay there while February gets adjudicated.
If the commission entered an order ordering you that required you effectively to pay 2 years more of benefits than May 2016 because they've deemed the May 2016 application withdrawn, but you were able to appeal the withdrawal order in response to that order, you would have all the relief that you are seeking now or could seek, depending on however the merits of the May application.
I'm not sure I understood just before.
Sure. If the commission enters an order saying no, the deputy commissioner was wrong to docket it, shouldn't have docked the May application, can't you read, we said it's done, gone, over.
Gotcha.
And so you're ordered to pay to the current day to file your change, that order effective
2 years later. Right.
If you could appeal the withdrawal issue in response to that order, you've got everything.
I would, if I can appeal that. What we did here was if that's an order, if that footnote is an order so that the May, it's gone, so that the May is just plain gone, then and something happens to February because they used the wrong words, then we could be here 2 years later. We could be on, we would be able to appeal the May dismissal then?
Well, my question is, if you are...
If I am, you're right. We would all be covered.
You're fine.
Right. So I
do have a works comp practice question.
Mm-hmm.
By rule or practice, has the commission ever previously claimed the ability to deem an employer's application withdrawn for failure to request to move it to the hearing docket? And, of course, that would be unusual in a non-workers comp setting, but it may make some sense in a comp setting to have that rule because you get to stop paying the minute you file it. And so can you file one and sit on it, or do you have to actually request that it be moved to the hearing docket? Because that seems to be kind of where we are with the May application. It was filed when they resolved that you had the ability to move it both the... According to that first order, Commissioner Marshall's order, you could move both the February and May. You could have moved them both forward at that time, but for whatever reason, you only chose to move one. Has the commission ever claimed the ability, essentially, to deem one withdrawn for failure to prosecute? In this circumstance, it didn't deny him any payments because you'd already stopped paying.
We already stopped the payments. It was what does deem mean? I don't know what deem means, and I don't know. All I know is that
withdrawn, even though you never said the word.
Even though we never said withdrawn, we never moved withdrawn.
Have they ever claimed the ability to say you have not moved forward on your employer's application? therefore we're going to deem it withdrawn without reaching the merits of the case.
Not in my, I think they write back, good question, they write and say you're going to move forward or we're going to dismiss it for failure to prosecute, something along those lines.
What they do, yeah.
But they gave us warning about that. This one came out of the blue. It just said we're going to deem it withdrawn. It's so much to do about very little.
And I know it's not in the record, but I'm going to ask both of you this question to be fair. Then I'm asking you both something outside the record.
Okay.
What's the status of the February 2016 application now? Where in the commission process?
Oh, it was set for hearing, and now it's just sitting there.
It was set in September, wasn't it? It
was set in September. It was taken off that hearing docket, and it's just waiting for you all to say something.
So basically, they've said since you appealed it to us, they're not doing anything.
They won't die doing anything. That case is just sitting there pending. And this man hadn't been paid since February 16th. So it's just they're waiting for you all to say something.
Okay. What is the difference between the terms? And Judge Russell and Judge Huff are the experts on workers' comp, and I try to learn for the last 9 years. But what is the significance of the term supplemental and successive? Where does that get us?
The word successive is in the rules. So you could, the difference is if you have a supplemental is not, successive is in there. Mm-hmm. If you have a application pending which stops compensation on an issue, termination for cause was one of them. You have that issue. If you want to add things to that issue, you would file a supplemental application. You got something new to that issue.
You hurt your right leg, and they were treating it for something or other that's covered under the act, and then something maybe goes wrong with some other part of your body, and you're claiming that that's related to what you originally were hurt by. Is that it?
No, it's supplementing the same issue. You have a back issue, but I have a doctor that says it's no longer related. I get a new report from that doctor. I want to make sure on the same issue.
Okay.
I want to supplement that. Then I would file a supplemental.
Dr. A says that I don't have whatever I claim I have. I go to Dr. B and he says I do. And you want to file that.
And you want to file that in there. That's okay. It's a supplemental application. A successive application is something different. You're saying we can terminate benefits on a whole different reason. It's a successive application. You don't pay up to that successive application unless you lose on the supplemental. Right? So you pay up to the supplemental, you stop. Then something else new comes up, another reason to stop, right? You file that in May, and in this one it was the same one, but you file that successive one, you lose February, you can then move right up to, you pay to May and it goes to trial. The supplementals generally will go to trial at the same time because it's just more evidence added on. What we did here, and this is what happened was, when the February one was filed, it said, because there was another one pending before, it said we're filing our supplemental application. It used the wrong word.
Should have been successive.
There's very quick correspondence that says we made a mistake about that. It should have been successive. We're not saying that we get the related back. There's a lot of about that, but that's the way it said. It should have said successive. It didn't, and that's, to our degree, why we're here. We're now to a point where we have... Well, there really isn't. I mean, this is a whole lot to do about nothing, really. It is. We need to get this case to trial. The February is ready to go to trial. The May is ready to go to trial. The commission's own senior claims examiner viewed that footnote as either dicta or just as an observation, which we think it should have been. We think. I hope you all make a decision and send it back. Because, and say it was dicta, you can say it that way, or you can say it should never have been brought, send both of them.
Look, I sympathize with your argument that nothing the commission should be able to divest us of our ability to hear something. And so if it's truly a final order, then we can hear it because they can't take it away from us by saying this is not an appealable order.
That part.
They clearly can't do that. I think they know that they clearly can't do that. And so the way I read that is we don't consider this a final order. It's still in the mess of all of this, well, for lack of a better term, mess. But it's still one mess. It's not two messes.
I think that's what they think. I think, although I don't know why they put that footnote in there. They just didn't need it. Just, you know, the footnote need not be in there, If they can't, you know, there's just no point to deeming something in a footnote that didn't, it didn't have to be there. Both of them can go to trial at the same time. They are the exact same issues. They are exactly the same issues. If we get to trial in February, on the February, and it goes to trial, the trouble is that everything in this case, as you may know, is litigated. This is a motion practice going on. It's Mr. Sweeney's way of practicing, and he has a right to do that. So we assume that if we go to trial in February and May is not done, that he will, and we win, he will appeal that thing all the way back, and we'll be up here in a year. And we just don't think that's necessary. And we hope that it does. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Sweeney?
May it please the Court, Your Honor. I'm Peter Sweeney for the Worker. Judge, let me address your question first because it is critical. It is true that if the claimant wishes to supplement an application, they can file something and call it whatever they want to supplement because it will relate back. We're not talking about the claimant here. We're talking about a very specific rule, Rule 1.4, which is employer's applications for hearing. Those rules are very strictly interpreted because they allow the employer to unilaterally cease payments under an award pending a hearing on the merits. And because that puts the claim
in the nature of an injunction, it stops things.
Very similar to a temporary injunction, but it says you can stop the payments if the commission accepts the application, and Rule 1.5 talks about that, and then suspension until a hearing. Those, because it suspends the claimant's benefits, it is very strictly interpreted. It's not the same thing. There is no such thing as a supplemental employer's application for hearing.
Now, the rules of the commission at the very beginning say the formal rules of pleading and practice that may be applicable in other places don't apply here. The commission has great latitude how it treats things. For the trial court practice, Rule 1819 regarding amendments should be liberally granted when there's no prejudice, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me, regarding the February 5th application through this process, that's essentially what the commission has done.
I disagree.
Okay.
And I disagree.
Then why didn't they why didn't they rule that the February 5th thing is a dead letter, we're done?
We haven't gotten there yet. I believe it should be for a number of reasons.
Why did Commissioner Newman send it back? Why didn't he just kill it right then?
That's a good point. I don't know why he didn't. But you have to put it in context. You have to look at the February 2016 application in the context of the application that was pending for hearing at the time from July. The February application was specifically termed supplemental by the employer because if you look at the history...
Within days, they corrected that, right?
But hold on. With all due respect, Your Honor. What happened was
they were willing to hold on for a while.
They were trying to relate that supplemental back to the July 2015 application. You can't look at the February 2016 without looking at July 2015. The way they filed the supplemental was not according to Rule 1.4, which is with the claims division of the commission, so it could be processed according to Rule 1.4. It was sent directly to the hearing deputy who was going to hear the July 2015 application. They wanted to raise this additional causation issue but have it heard at the same time and bypass Rule 1.4. When I attacked it on the grounds that there's no such thing as a supplemental, they said, wait a minute, we meant successive. Why? Because Rule 1.4 does refer to successive applications. And what it says is you have to pay up until the first application. If you file a successive application, you don't have to pay up until that one, until the first one is disposed of. That's what a successive application is. It is a separate, independent issue that's being raised subsequently to a first issue.
At the end of Commissioner Newman's opinion, where we are, it strikes me that it seems that they are at least willing to let the lower levels of the commission treat that as a successive as opposed to a supplemental application. Where am I wrong in that?
I agree with you. What happens is that the full commission, I'm sorry, the claims division, when they're treating it, they blur the distinction. They don't even address my arguments, which are there's no such thing as a supplemental, you can't do what you're doing, and they just sort of talk about these in generic terms as successive applications. But there's never a specific ruling that this is a valid successive application.
You would agree that under the rules of practice of the commission and the powers of the commission, if they want to essentially allow them to amend it to change the word supplemental to successive, they have the power to do that.
I agree.
And we wouldn't, and absent, I can't imagine that being an abuse of discretion given all of the stops of payment on and all of that, that that would essentially be a binding ruling that we wouldn't be able to touch on.
I'm not sure I would agree with that, because they are creating, in effect, a new rule without going through the correct process for that. They are creating something that has never existed before. And let me go to your other point, which is, can they, have they done something like deeming this in a footnote? I can't think of a specific case where they've done that.
Well, even not in a footnote. Just,
I understand.
You filed a change of application. You didn't pursue it because you're using it effectively to stop your payment.
There is a history of the commission dismissing things for failure to pursue them, failure to prosecute them. I can't say specifically an employer's application for hearing, but I can tell you that I was not at all surprised at what they did, because if you look at the May 2016 application, it is identical to the February one, which itself is trying to relate back to the one in July. So you can't divorce them in the sense of saying, well, we're just going to change the term, what's going to apply. But because even if the February 2016 is dismissed for some reason, the May 2001 is a duplicate of the same. It goes as well.
But, and correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe I've misread the record. When they disposed of the July 2015 application.
Correct.
And so that's now a dead letter. Employer was required to bring things current to February 5th, 2016. So for payment purposes, we're already at a point that it doesn't relate back, because they've already required, they treated it as a new thing and required him to pay for, the employer to pay forward to February 15th. There are no back benefits before February 15th that can be affected by any of this.
February 16th, correct. Yes.
February 5th, 2016.
And the issue, the case that brings us on appeal today is the case deciding the question which I raised was, when do you have to make that payment? And if that payment had to, I argued it had to be made on the 30-day mark, the commission said, we've never dealt with this before because we don't deal with successive applications that way. We're going to say you have another 2 weeks from that.
Well, that's your assignment of error. And my understanding of how we got to your assignment of error is you did not file a cross appeal. You just noted cross error.
But
is that correct?
Yes, but let me make a distinction here. The commission's decision that the time within which to pay is going to be 44 days, I take no issue with. That's a first impression, they decided that. What my point is that there's no evidence that they complied with that and made payment when they chose to wait the 44th day. They can do that, but to make the payment and make the application not void ab initio, they have to show that payment was issued, not just issued, but actually mailed to the claimant at his last known address. They didn't do that.
But my question about cross appeal and cross error has significance, and I want to make sure. You did not file your own notice of appeal. You just noted cross error. Is that correct? So if we dismiss employer's application, your issue of cross error dies.
Procedurally.
To keep it alive, to keep it in front of us for any type of decision, we actually have to get to his issue.
I think I would agree with that, because I still would then have the option to go back to the commission and say, you made a mistake.
You agree. It seems to me your position is that the order deeming the May 2016 application withdrawn is a final order.
Yes.
Okay. And that the record could be read in that way. But then we have the problem with, in the footnote, Commissioner Newman saying this is not appealable to the Court of Appeals. The Commission does not have the authority to strip us of the ability to review a final order, which, if they are treating that order as a final order, they seem to be attempting to do.
That's the appellant's argument.
Right. Well, you agree they can't.
Can't strip you?
They can't say, you can't. The Court of Appeals is not allowed to ever look at this. We get to hide our homework.
They don't
get to check it.
I agree.
Okay. Given that their order says that, and presuming that they know that, it seems to me that they don't believe it's a final order, or they wouldn't have said that.
The reason I disagree with that is because they've looked at, again, you have to go back and look at three applications. The one that was pending before the deputy in July of 2015,
the so-called supplemental application, which tries to relate back to that same time period, and the corrective successive application, which says, please put this back to the February 2016, and therefore put that back to the July 2015 application. They were trying to bootstrap these issues that are raised by the February and the May 2016 applications, bootstrap them into the hearing that was before the deputy. That's why they sent it to the deputy and not normally, as is done, to the claims division.
Okay. But even if they were trying to do that, that's kind of water over the dam now, because they've already been ordered to bring you current to February 5th, 2016. But if we assume that the commission can't deprive us of jurisdiction, are you asking us to reach the merits of whether the commission properly deemed it withdrawn?
I think they did deem it withdrawn.
Well, and are you asking us on appeal to reach the merits of that? And if so, what is your can you point me to a rule, a case, or anything that gives the commission without notice to a party to deem an application withdrawn?
I cannot.
It seems to me you don't want us to reach that question.
Well, maybe I don't. I understand the problem, but again, the difficulty is that if you examine both applications, February and May, they're identical. The only thing that's changed is the title.
Well, and I think he agrees entirely and agrees that as long as they reach the merits of the February application, one way or the other, May's dead. The only
well, I'd like to think so, because what I'm expecting is going to happen is that if I'm successful in showing the payment was not made on the 44th day as required, then the February 2016 application is void ab initio. They're going to be right back here saying, well, we still have May. We still have May.
Which unless the commission had the power to deem it withdrawn, would be appropriate, would it not?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Given how hard you fought on some of these issues, I'm going to take perhaps as a
well, but again, I think you have to go back to looking at what the applications were trying to do, because there is no such thing as a supplemental. And if the commission's going to accept it, and I'm not sure they've made a ruling on that point, much as I've tried to get them to do so, then that's going to be critical. Let me make one other additional point.
I think, I don't want to prejudice any argument you have on appeal to the full commission of whatever the deputy commissioner does. I think when they send it back to be placed on the docket or potentially placed on the docket, they think it's a successive application, but that's my read of the record.
But I understand how you see that, and I really am opposed to the idea that anything the commission did after the decision, which is the subject of this appeal, should be considered by this court. But if the court is going to consider...
You're talking about what the deputy commissioner did. I'm talking about when they send it back and say... You can docket these. It seems to me that's inherent in that is that it's properly before.
And now we get into the problem of how things work in the commission, because the claims division, the senior claims examiner, who is not an attorney and certainly is not a judicial officer, is processing this. For example, her comment about dicta is absolutely inappropriate for her to be making. The point is that there is a processing department which is now being treated as if it's a judicial department and that it's making judicial decisions, and that is incorrect.
Well,
so there's been no judicial ruling yet on the propriety of the February 2016 application.
And I think the field is open for you to make that argument, and even if the act of docketing, it's sent over from the claims division, the deputy commissioner doesn't sua sponte kick it and saying, I can't look at either of these things, which as best I can tell didn't happen. It's all waiting to be heard by the deputy commissioner. You would still have the argument to the full commission, assuming I'm not reading between the lines correctly. Maybe you will win that.
And this is the difficulty of handling workers' compensation cases, because I can tell you that in practice, deputy commissioners will not overrule, the hearing commissioner will not overrule a decision of the claims division. Even when we've made all the arguments that are valid as to why this application should never have been docketed, they will not overrule that decision. It will go to a hearing no matter what we've argued. And so it's no surprise to me that a deputy commissioner would say, well, I'm not going to overrule the claims division. We're going to send this on to a hearing, and then we're going to have to try to make the arguments at that point. So that's one of those things that doesn't show up in the record or the rules, but everybody who does this knows that's how it works.
I guess the commission is kind of... The third fight would be the Thrilla in Manila when you go back to the full commission again, which it appears that no matter what we do, y'all are going to do.
Well, it's...
And we'll be waiting to see you in a year.
And I'll be happy to be back here.
Well, some of us will be waiting.
So, again, I think that the commission's ruling is a valid ruling and should be upheld. Certainly, the other point is that the February 2016 application should have been dismissed because the commission made an error. And that's something we haven't really talked about here, but the fact of the matter is the commission made an error. They got the wrong date, and that date is critical. They thought it was the 6th of February. It was, in fact, the 9th of February. The appellants chose to wait until the very last day under the ruling that the commission had made, interpreting the rule for the first time. They waited to the last possible day, and they can do that, but in order to make that application remain valid, they have to show that they mailed it directly to the claimant. Not just issued a check in the claimant's name, but actually put it in the mail to the claimant or delivered to the claimant.
Isn't there a reissuance of a check that had been...
They issued the check incorrectly the first time, and that's where the issue came up over the date. To the commission, the commission got it confused and said it was the 7th. In fact, they later said, no, we issued it on the 9th, which was the 44th day. And so all we know is the check was issued. The record doesn't show that they mailed it to the claimant on that day, which under case law they had to do. And I see my time is running.
One last question for me. Do you agree or disagree that if we deem that the February application is adjudicatable, in other words, we can get to that, that the May application is subsumed in that?
Yes. Okay. In the sense that they're identical applications. It's the same application.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sweeney. Mr. Bilicelli?
But I don't think you get there. The only thing we're here on is whether or not, really the only thing we're here on is our appeal of whether or not the May is deemed or not. All this question of supplemental successive with February isn't in front of you.
I don't think the question was designed to say that we reached that question.
Okay.
I think it was designed to make sure the two of you agree that if they ever reach the merits on February, everything else is dead.
Yeah, everything else is dead. Those two are totally... It's a CYA application in May, just to make sure that technically February is right.
You all but used that phrase in your reply brief.
I got it.
There won't be CYA in the opinion either.
I also don't think that the issue of the date of whether or as he says, the question of the commission's new rule on when you file was a new rule by when you can pay. That was, but that's not on appeal either. That's not an issue for you all. That's not been appealed. There's no notice of error on that. As far as I can read the brief, he seems to say that maybe it's a burden of proof that we have to do. That we have to prove that we wrote a check to the man and that we didn't write a check to somebody else. I have a very unclear, there's no, his assignment of error here does not, doesn't say anything other than maybe we didn't write the check to Mr. Rapson on time.
But you agree,
I don't think
that since there was no notice of appeal filed, it is cross error.
It's clearly cross error. It's clearly cross error.
And so if we dismiss you, we don't get to him.
You don't get to him. If you dismiss us, however, I mean, if you grant us, I mean, if you reach the merits of our argument, I don't think there's any argument to reach of his. I don't think he has a proper assignment of error. It was not raised below. He's never said at the commission, the man didn't get his check. There's no evidence in terms of whether the man got his check or not. I mean, there's letters written, but he didn't preserve this appeal. This issue is not preserved. It's not. You have to at least have pointed to somewhere in the record where he had said that below. He's never said it below. For the first time ever, he said it to you all here. That's the first time it appears in any of the appendix anywhere else. So if you do get to us, and I hope you get to us so that we're not back here in 2 years or year or 2 years, I don't think you get to that argument.
But you're not saying that he's precluded. You're saying that in this context, it's not yet quite right. It might become right, but it's not yet right.
I think he needed to appeal that issue, and he didn't. The commission held at the time the payment was timely. He didn't. He's not appealing that.
Setting aside law of the case, which I don't want to get into right now, which is a possible argument for perhaps another day, maybe not. He would have a right of appeal regarding the claims division sending it to the deputy commissioner for a hearing, who has accepted it for a hearing. If there's any technical defect in that application package at all, the commission is the final word on that, and they have not specifically issued a ruling on that argument because it hasn't been raised.
Right. Is that right? I'm not sure.
I'm asking.
I know.
Much as I took this, perhaps I'm taking your right.
I want to make sure I understand. So what I'm talking about is the question of whether the man received the check on the day or not. That's the issue. That's the only issue he's raised.
And as I understand,
he didn't preserve that.
That has not been fully litigated below. In fact, hasn't been raised in any way, shape, or form below.
Below, right.
And so, to the extent it is still a live issue in the commission, that's up to the commission, and then.
And that's right. It is not appropriate to be here now.
They have to reach whether they reach. That will be determined by whether they determine to reach the merits of the February 5th, 2016 application. That's part and parcel of that issue, which would be, as I understand, the state of play in the commission has been on the hearing docket now for quite some time, but was taken off the hearing docket so we could deal with this.
I'm not sure I agree. Let me hold this to say that. In the latest opinion, that's when they determined what the time frame was. And I agree, it's a new rule. The time frame to pay is, they looked at it, they said they had three ways, and they picked up 44th day. And I believe they ruled the payment was made on the 44th day. All right? That's because they sent the case to the docket to be heard. There was no assignment of error for that. There was no preservation of that error here. I believe that he probably could have appealed that. He probably could have written in and said, here's the man's check, it's the day after. Or said it was written to the wrong person. He didn't do any of that. So I don't believe, I disagree with you. I think you could dismiss this as being not preserved. This point is being not preserved.
All right.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate